Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Psalms chapter 23. I know we talked a couple times with Psalms 23 on Sunday morning. I'm trying to get through Psalms 23 before our missions conference begins. And so we'll probably talk a little bit about it again on Sunday. We could spend a long time on it, but I don't desire to spend months on it. But I think it goes along what we've been learning about in 1 Samuel. We see David at the end of his life, and I'm thinking that's when David wrote Psalms 20 and 23 here. And some really encouraging things in here, some really great stuff. And I've been encouraged by studying and reading and looking through it. I had mentioned that we had spoke about Psalms 23 a long time ago. I didn't know when it was, and someone came up and told me that they keep track of the things in the Bible. It was back in 2010. So it was about 9 years ago when we preached on it. I went to look through the website, which goes back through 2011, could not find the series of sermons, and sometimes they're not all there. But then that's what it came in, was the summer of 2010. We looked at some of this. And so tonight we're going to look at Psalms 23:3. If we really wanted to, we could make it two separate messages. From the first phrase, "He restoreth my soul," to the second phrase, "He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness." Actually, you can make it three messages for his name's sake. But we're going to break it up into two different ones. We're going to look at "He restoreth my soul." And then secondly, we're going to look at "He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Really looking forward to the message tonight, and then at least two or three more messages between Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, probably two or three more messages of those fours. We'll be focusing on Psalms 23. And remember, the thought is that we're supposed to delight in the Lord, and we're delighting in his care. We consider the shepherd. Now, the person who's writing this is considering themselves the sheep. They're not considering themselves the shepherd. They're considering themselves the lamb that is in need of help. "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And we looked at those things on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Here he says, "He restoreth my soul." And I like that phrase. I thought a lot about that phrase the last few days. And I think about the word "restore." It means to bring again, or to bring home, or to return something to a person which they had lost. And so I began thinking, what in the world could a shepherd be referring to? And the fact, "He restoreth my soul," you see the comparison is for a shepherd, first how they treat their sheep, and then also the comparison how the Lord takes care of us. So I began thinking about, well, how can a shepherd restore the sheep back? How can they give them something back? How can they bring them back home? And there's a couple of things that came to my mind. The first one we talked a little bit about Sunday night, when there is a brooding about and there is one that's trying to disrupt, and that the shepherd can restore peace, and the shepherd can restore comfort amongst them. They can restore them physically by taking them to a new area. But the one thing that I thought was really interesting in the study is the word "cast." I began doing a little research on which way was best to illustrate this idea of restoring the shepherd back into the flock, or back into its physical ability. I'm going to read something here because I'm not too knowledgeable about it, but I think it's something you'll find interesting. It says, to illustrate this idea of the sheep, shepherd restoring the sheep, has to do with the word "cast." In the Old English, shepherds would speak of a sheep that was cast, meaning the sheep was on its back in a helpless, frightened position and could not get up. You ever seen those commercials? It says, "I've fallen, I can't get up." Well, sheep, when they do that, they're laying on their back with their feet up in the air, and because of the circumstances, because of maybe overweight or because of the situation where they're at, they are stuck there, and they cannot get up. Now, thinking about this position, it is a frightened position because they cannot get themselves up on their own. Perhaps the sheep were looking for a soft place to lie in the grass and fell over too far one way, or perhaps the sheep was weighed too much and fell over onto its back. This is a dangerous position for the sheep, because if the sheep stay in this position too long, it dies. It can also cause itself to be very worked up and cause itself harm internally. But also in a cast position, the sheep is a defenseless when it comes to animals that would be at prey. They would not be able to flee. They would not be able to run with the rest of the flocks if an animal came to attack them. Now, the good shepherd will go and rescue the sheep from a danger spot. That's why it's important the shepherd keeps an eye on their sheep. They know what's going on. And the shepherd will go over and take its time to roll the sheep back over. Sometimes if the sheep's been there for a little while, has to massage its legs to put the circulation back into the sheep. Also to make sure that the sheep is there and steady and put it back into fellowship and into the flock. He calms the fears of them. He puts them back in with the other sheep. He gives them a place of safety and provision. So when they think about he restoreth my soul, it's the idea of the shepherd restoring the sheep from a cast down or a cast position. Now it's kind of interesting because in Psalms chapter 42, we see this word cast down in reference to our soul. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Psalms chapter 42 if you like to. And it talks about David writing once again about this word cast, and he uses this idea of cast down in reference to the soul. I think it's interesting when you apply back to Psalms chapter 23, is something there. And I know I mentioned that this was Psalm of David. It is not a Psalm of David. Psalms 42, it says it was from the chief musician. So there it says, as the hart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. And while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And when you're in that cast down position, there is going to be many attacks of saying, you know, where is your God now? And then it says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Then he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in thee? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So I imagine I see that sheep in a very desperate situation. They are hopeless and they are helpless. They're with their own strength. They are in need of the shepherd to come and rescue them. And in this passage and in this psalm, I see where it says that, why art thou cast down? And a person's soul and a person's heart, a person's inner being can get to the point where they feel like they're cast down, and that they can be hopeless and they can be helpless, and they feel overwhelmed and they feel like there's nothing they can do to help themselves. And that's when David comes and says, the good shepherd restoreth my soul. You see, in verse number 5 there in chapter 42, it says, for hope in God. For I yet shall I praise him. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So I'm trying to get at this idea that I see that sheep that's turned over and they're in distress. They have a need. And our souls are like that sometimes. Has our souls been thirsty before? Have our souls longed for something? Have our souls been in upheaval before? Have our souls been unrested? Have our souls been to a point where they've been discouraged? And there's an important understanding here that's found in the Bible is God can give rest to our souls. He can restore our souls. And just like that sheep was in need of help, and just like that sheep was in need of being turned over, or just like in other areas, taking away the fear or taking away the friction or taking away the other things that we talk about, the rest that could be provided on Sunday night, he restores our soul. The Bible says, even in Psalms chapter 51, when David was writing that passage of scripture about getting right with God, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What is he saying there? His soul had lost this joy. His soul had lost the excitement he had about being saved. He had lost the fellowship with God. And there's a difference between a relationship and a fellowship. And a relationship, there is a relationship there that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want is when I'm allowing to lead me. The Lord is my shepherd. And if you are a child of God, we are a sheep of his shepherd. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So what the Bible is saying there is, if we are a sheep of God, or a sheep of the good shepherd, that we're going to hear the voice of God, and that we're going to have eternal life, and that no man's going to be able to will take them out of the Father's hand. So there is an important understanding here. There's a relationship. When we become a child of God, we are God's child, and nothing can ever change that relationship. It's called eternal security. Once you're saved, you're saved. The Bible says he gives you eternal life, everlasting life. I believe that lasts forever. And I believe sometimes you can fall back, and sometimes you can sin, and sometimes God has to chasten you, and sometimes God has to get you right to enter back into the fellowship. Now, that relationship doesn't change, but fellowship changes. Sometimes when we have fellowship with God, we're communing with God, we're not having any problems, there's no sin separating us. But when sin comes into our heart and sin comes into our life, it breaks our fellowship. It does not change your relationship, but it breaks the fellowship. I know I've used this illustration more than once. I have two sons, Christian and Andrew. Biologically, they are my children. Nothing will ever change the fact that I helped make them. They are my sons. Now, could our fellowship be broken sometime? I hope not, but yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes when they want to act stubborn, or maybe if I want to act stubborn, and maybe we don't get along as well as we normally would. Now, when it comes to this thought and this idea that our soul is in need of restoration, our soul is in need of restoring, is that many times when we have put ourselves in a place where we are at a spot where we're not in communion with God, we have let other things come into our hearts and lives. We use the idea of parasites on Sunday night. We've allowed other things cling on to us. We've allowed other things to take over our thoughts. And we become worrisome, we become fearful, and we become like that sheep. We're on our back, and we are in desperation of needing of that restoration of what? The restoration of fellowship, the restoration of the longing we have for God. Our hearts and our souls are cast down, and we need to lift them up to God. There's that Psalms that sound in Psalms 25, and it's verse number 1 and 2. It's one of those songs that are scripture songs. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. He said, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. And Psalms 25, it's saying it right there, just overall, probably on the next page. You know, I'm lifting up my soul, God, because I need restoration. I need the comfort. I need the help that can only come from you. And in Psalms 23, is an older man, I believe, an older King David, looking back over his life and said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me into still waters, but beside the still waters. And then he comes to the spot and he says, he restoreth my soul. I was in a spot where I was longing and I was needful. And I think it even doesn't even have to deal with sin. I think sometimes we can just be, we can be longing for him. We desire him. And the world has taken us and the world has beaten us up. And the world has caused so much grief and heartache and pain in our lives that we go to the good shepherd and he restores our soul. He gives us that comfort. He gives us that hope. He gives us that help that only can come from him, because he's the good shepherd. He's the only one that we can lift our souls up to and can be an encouragement. And the Holy Spirit of God can come inside of us and overwhelm us and help encourage us in our walk. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. God, the enemies are triumphing over me. My soul needs to be restored. My soul needs help, and I'm lifting it up to you, God. I'm asking you to restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I'm asking you to restore unto me those things in my life that has dragged me down and taken me out of that proper fellowship. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's some type of sin in my heart and life. But God, I want restoration. I want to be brought back into that spot where I see you and where I worship you. I want to be brought back into that moment where I can be completely right with you, and I can sit with you, and I can enjoy your presence, and I can speak to you. And that's what he's saying. Restore unto me. He says, he restoreth my soul. David, he's like, man, there's been a lot of dry times in my life. There's been a lot of times in my life where it's I needed something. And God restored my soul. Now, I've been thinking about some of the different other things that are talked about restored in the Bible. There's opportunities can be restored. Joel chapter 2, verse 25 says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer warmer, where my great army which I sent against you. God was saying when they got right, Joel was saying, God's going to restore that opportunity. There's also, the Bible speaks about others being restored into fellowship. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But I'm thinking about the souls that have been restored in the Bible. I thought about some different Bible characters who were hurting, and they were introduced back into fellowship. Or there were times when they were desperate, and God took and was patient with them and kind with them. Elijah came to my mind. I still see Elijah by out there and running from Jezebel and being inside that cave and being inside the wilderness. God provided the angel. God provided the meal. And he ran to the cave, and God provided all those different things, that still small voice. And there's other times in the Bible. I think about Peter. And you think about Peter in the New Testament. Peter was loved by God. Peter, the Lord even encouraged Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou convertest, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord even told Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, I won't do that. Peter messes up. Can you imagine how Peter felt when he messed up? I don't know about you, my heart would be broken. And I remember even for Kids Crusade, we went and did it, and the Friday night I was supposed to be Peter. I didn't get dressed up in the Bible outfit just because, but I gave the perspective from Peter and what it must have been like for Peter afterwards to go back and sit by a fire and talk about what it would have been like to be able to be forgiven. To have that opportunity to be restored back into fellowship. Imagine when Peter there denied Christ, and then the Lord saw him and says he got up and he wept bitterly. I'm sure at some point in time, if not at right that moment, he would have been sorrowful for what he did, and he would have been sad. I can't believe I did it. I can't believe I did it. And then Jesus is raised up from the dead, and he tells those people, go tell my disciples and Peter. He includes Peter back into it. But Peter still, a little bit later on, what does he do? He goes a fishing. He still goes, and he still, and then Jesus brings them up, and they had that miraculous catch, and they're sitting there by the fire. And what's Jesus doing? He is restoring him back into fellowship. Peter's soul has been dry, and Peter's soul has been discouraged, and Peter's soul has been hurting. And there's only one person that can enter into that. There's only one person that can restore them. There's only one person that can say, you know, I still love you. I still forgive you. I still want to see you work. I still want to see you do all these things. There's only one person that can do that, and that's the Good Shepherd. And when the Bible says he restoreth my soul, it's that he's the one that can make it right. He's the one that can make our fellowship right. He's the one that can offer us something that no one else can do. And Jesus looks at him and says, lovest thou more than me, these? And he says, then feed my sheep. And he did that three different times. We know the different reasons for that. But he's the one that restored him back into fellowship. It didn't matter what those ladies were saying. It didn't matter what anyone else was saying. There was only the Good Shepherd that could restore him to the point where he could have his heart and his soul, his inner being, right with God. I don't know about you, if you're longing for something tonight, and that's what the psalm is saying. That's what David is saying. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He may give me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Not only does he do all those things, but while I'm there, he restores my soul. He gives me back into that right. He makes it right. He gives me to that spot and that opportunity. There's been times, I don't know how many times in my life it's been dry or it's been hard, and I've gone to him and, Lord, I need something. I don't know how many times in my life I've sang that song that goes to Psalm 25, and unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. God, oh my God, I come to thee. And let me not be ashamed. Don't let my enemies triumph over me, God. I don't want to lose in this battle, and there's only one way I cannot lose, and that's with your help. And Lord, I need you to restore my soul. I need you to fill my inner self, Lord. And then it says in Psalms chapter 51, once again, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then there's that phrase, then will I teach transgressors the way, and sinners shall be converted. When my soul is filled, then I will also have the opportunity to help others see the need. He restoreth my soul. And then the next phrase we're going to look at, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember, this is not a shepherd talking to a shepherd. This is a person who is a sheep, that considers himself a sheep, that is willing to be that little lamb in God's shepherd and God's flock, willing to be following the Lord's leadership. He says, I'm not going to want, I'm going to be happy with whatever the shepherd provides me. He's going to make me lie down in green pastures. That's what we talked about Sunday night. We rest in those pastures. He leads us beside the waters that are healthy for me to drink. He restores my soul. And then he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. There's three thoughts here. Number one, he has a plan. The shepherd has a plan. And the shepherd's conscience, and a good shepherd's conscience, at all times are the needs of the sheep. Where will they go? What will they eat? And what will they drink? His life is given to the sheep. Sheep are known for being stubborn. Sheep are known for wanting to go their own way. Sheep are known for trying to find what's next and what's best. And I think that's what the Bible refers to in Isaiah chapter 53 when he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. With the opportunity that is given, they will go astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And it goes along with that verse, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The sheep have their own way. Man has their own way, just like a shepherd is going to lead them in the right paths. A good shepherd is going to take them to a spot where they can get the nourishment they need, and they do it for their namesake. They want to be known as a good shepherd. That is Brian Pease's flock, or that is so-and-so's flock. And if they're weak and they're anemic and if they're sad and their fields are sad, that's going to say something about their name. But the good shepherd is going to lead them in the paths of righteousness, the right paths. They're going to make sure that they don't allow the sheep to go back and forth and make a rut. They're going to make sure they have all the green grass they need. Sometimes it means taking off a certain place and going off to another place and rotating it around, or fencing off a portion of their field so that the other field can provide, and things like that. And it's the shepherd has a plan. The Bible says, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and that thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. The Lord shall guide thee continually. And that's what the good shepherd's willing to do. He's willing to take you in the paths of righteousness. He has a plan for your life. God has a plan for all of our lives. He has a certain plan and specific plan he desires for you to do. Tonight on the way right before church, I had someone call me up, and I don't get calls from this individual very often, so I picked it up, and I talked to him for a good while, and he was talking about his plan, God's plan for his life, and I told him, you know, God's got a certain plan for you, he has a certain desire. And I told him what I was preaching on tonight. I said, he wants to give you in the paths of righteousness, so be praying, let God lead you and guide you. Don't take anything for granted, because God has a plan. But also the good shepherd's going to have a place. And the shepherd's plan is always going to be the place of righteousness. It's never going to be a place of unrighteousness. He's never going to lead you somewhere where it's wrong. He's always got you best interest at heart. Remember, his plan is he in the paths of what? He's got a path for you. It's a path of righteousness. The sheep are known for walking the same path again and again. Many times it will wear down into where there's no grass on which to graze. If the shepherd does not keep an eye on it, finally it becomes a rut. And after the rain comes, the rut becomes a muddy trough. And then there's unsanitary conditions, and disease can set in due to the fact that the excrement of the sheep, because the sheep continue to go through that rut. The sheep unwittingly wade through the disease rut, endangering themselves. And it's amazing, because the sheep need to be led, and there is a shepherd that's willing to lead us if we're willing to follow. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 has a wonderful passage of scripture about the Lord leading us and how he leads us in the his path of righteousness. He leads us in the right way. It's not always the way that we want. It's not always the way that we think is best. We put things in our own mind, in our own heart, this has got to be the way it happens. But you know what happens? Our soul was no longer restored. our soul is no longer where it's being filled with the Spirit of God working and moving because we're doing things according to our own path and our own ways. Proverbs chapter 8, look what it says in verse 13. We're going to read a number of verses here. The fear of the Lord, remember that's where it begins. It's a respect and a reverence of God that we do not want to fail or disappoint him. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Then he says, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom, I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles even all the judges of the earth. Now this is speaking about wisdom here. Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Look at that. He says, I lead where? In the ways of righteousness. He has a plan for you, and his plan is always in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Wow. And so what it's saying here, this is the shepherd. He has a plan for you, and his plan is always in paths of righteousness. It's never going to lead you to a path of unrighteousness. And there's a third thing here. Not only does the shepherd have a plan and a place, the shepherd has a purpose. And I like the phrase at the end there, for his name's sake. That's something that we find mentioned more than once in the Bible. It always means to praise the Lord and to give him glory in the way we live and the way we honor him, for his name's sake. And I think about his namesake. I always go back to that story of David and Goliath. I love that story, David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, Goliath has come out already, and Goliath has already made his spiel or has spewed out his wickedness. And David responds. And it says, David spake to the men that stood by him and saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Then he says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He cared about God's namesake. He knew who the Lord was. And it's the same David that later on pins his passages of scripture. It's the same David who cares about God's name. Later on, when David's getting ready to fight the battle, Goliath challenges him. David responds with the verse that we have out in our foyer, or at least a portion of it. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And he said, I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And then that last phrase, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. God is going to be our shepherd, and he's got a plan, and he's got a place, but there's a purpose behind it too. In his plan, he has a plan for you, and he's going to lead you. And where is he going to lead you to? In paths of righteousness. He's not going to take you to the wicked places. He's not going to take you to places that you should not go, or places that are not going to give his name glory, that are not going to give his name honor, that's not going to give you the refreshment that you need, the green pastures that you need, the still waters that you need, not to a place where it's not going to be unsatisfying. He's going to bring you to a place where he can restore your soul, and he's going to do it all because he's God. And this for his namesake. If God left you out hanging to dry, then someone could make an accusation to God and say, God, you put me through this. God, you took me here, and then you never took care of me. But what do we see in Psalms 37 on Sunday? What did David say? He says, I am now old. He says, let me make sure I get it right. Talks about the righteous not begging for bread. And he talked about, let's see here. Of course, now I can't find it. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I tell you, some of us are on our own pathway. We're headed down this journey, and we don't know why God is not going with us. We don't know why God is not fulfilling us, and God is not lifting up our soul, when God is not encouraging us in our walk, we seem unsatisfied and unhappy. We keep on doing things that are contrary to the Bible, contrary to Scripture, and we're saying, this is where God is leading. But he says here, the paths of righteousness. He says that, he says, I'm going to lead you through the paths of righteousness, and he's going to do it for his namesake. Now, sometimes there's a Goliath, sometimes there's a valley, sometimes there's hardship, sometimes there's struggles, but he's our shepherd. He can get us to a spot where we're not going to want. He can even make us lie down in the green pastures. He can even lead us beside the still waters. He can even restore our souls, and he can lead us in that path of righteousness, and he's the one that's going to get glory. I think about all the different challenges and all the different places that God took the children of Israel. The amazing story that they heard, to where Rahab came and says, I know about you people. I know about your God. And I believe that he's God because for his namesake, he brought the people up out of Egypt. He made Abraham a great nation. He called Abraham out of Ur. He made him a great nation for his namesake. And then that nation went down to Egypt, and he brought them out of Egypt with the power and might of God, with the cloud that was they were following, to the parting of the Red Sea, to the manifestation of God on the Mount Sinai, to the feeding of the manna, to the water from the rock, from miracle after miracle after miracle. Why? It's for his namesake. And if we will allow him to lead us, then he'll get glory for his namesake. He's got a plan for us. And that place is a place of righteousness. And we can't be working, we can't be going to our own place. It's got to be his place. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. The Lord is the one that can do this. And he says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, I'm going to let you lead me, and I'm going to be satisfied with what you bring me. Even think about what it says in verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who can do that but God? He is God. And if we let him lead us, he's got a plan, he's got a place, and he's got a purpose. We have our own purposes, but is our purpose to bring glory to God? He restoreth my soul. I don't know where you're at tonight in your Christian walk or where your soul is at, but sometimes it's a dry and thirsty land. There's only one thing that can continually fulfill that and satisfy you. We try lots of things that can make us happy for a little while. The alcoholic will drink for a little while. It'll make him happy. The person looking for pleasure will indulge in pleasure for a little while, and it will satisfy them. The person that cares about reputation may do something to make themselves feel good for a little while. But there is only one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's only one that will make us not want continually. There's only one that will make us feel so comfortable that we can rest in the green pastures. We can trust what he has brought us to drink. And we can trust that he will restore our soul. And he leads us in the path of righteousness. Tonight, are you allowing the Lord to be your shepherd? Are you allowing him to restore your soul? And that's what the Bible says. Bring it back. Give me back the joy of my salvation. Restore it unto me. Just like Peter, it was in a long, I'm sure, in a dry and thirsty place. When he went back out fishing, he was discouraged and disappointed. And God said, lovest thou me? He says, feed my sheep. He said, I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you, Peter. You don't have to be this way. And you don't have to be this way tonight. You don't have to be longing. There's someone who can meet that longing. There's someone who can restore your soul. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.